And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Power of Prophecy. Well, great to be with you, and we have actually a volume of secrets today for you. This is volume 154. As you know, about once a month, we have a little volume where we put together some of the, let's just say, undiscovered resources and nuggets of wisdom for you. And we reveal things that, well, the establishment would prefer that you not know. But, you know, God has given me a roving eye. And I don't mean for the women. I mean for the information. I live for information. Let other fellows be girl watchers or something. I guess I'm just too old for that. So, and besides that, I've already got the most beautiful, gorgeous lady in the world by my side. Wanda and I, we've been married for over 3 decades. So I don't intend to change. And I talk to her frequently, and she has agreed not to kick me out anytime soon. I don't know why she puts up with old Tex here, but Wanda, my sweetheart, Wanda Jean Mars, does. And I'm not going to doubt her judgment. I mean, if she wants to put up with me, an old sluggard like me, well, you know, I don't know. Every once in a while, she even says I'm still handsome. You know, I don't know. Maybe she looks at our old pictures when we got married in Tucson, Arizona, many, many, many years ago, where I was a dashing young Air Force officer. And at the time, she had a wonderful job. She was director of development and community relations for Tucson General Hospital. I took her away from all that, brought her down here to Texas, and that's where we've been ever since. Well, in any case, she puts up with me, and I appreciate her doing so. And by the way, you know, I told you she was beautiful. Now, she's beautiful. She really is beautiful. But I think if a man doesn't believe his own wife is beautiful, well, shame on him. Shame on him. I really believe that. You know, I've always been surprised sometime at guys who marry women who really are beautiful, and they're just ugly old fellows. And it goes the other way too, doesn't it? Handsome fellows and ugly gals. Well, I don't know, but that's my opinion. Because in their light, in their view, their wife or their husband is lovely. And that's the way it ought to be. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the world thinks. It really doesn't. And besides that, you know, the more I grow old, the more I realize that, well, you can't take it with you. Friends, from the day you hit adulthood, your beauty, your handsomeness is fading. And it really does matter what's under the skin, what's in the heart. It really does matter. There are a lot of people that are beautiful just because they're beautiful people. And if you saw a picture of them somewhere, you'd say, wow, you know, they're no catch. They're no number 10. But if you knew about them and if you met them, you'd fall in love with them. I think a lot of people do that. They fall in love with somebody who's beautiful, who's a lovely person. And then other people look and say, wow, what? Those two don't even, they don't seem to match up with each other. Well, what do they know? What does the world know? Who cares? I've always said, marry the man or the woman whom God tells you to marry. A lot of people worry about, you know, should this race marry this race, or should this financial group, you know, somebody who's comes from aristocratic, wealthy background, marry somebody who's, you know, raised, what do they used to say, across the railroad tracks? They ask me questions like that. You know what I say? Marry whoever God tells you to marry. Well, but our cultures are so different. Shut up. Ask God. Don't ask me. He's a lot more wise than I. He'll lead you to the right person. I want to tell you a little story that happened. I think I mentioned on the air before. One and I just began our Christian ministry many years ago, and we started off with publishing a book entitled Dark Secrets of the New Age. Now, I'd done many things before. I'd retired as an officer, but I was still a young man. And we decided that we were going to go on the road and promote that book, Dark Secrets of the New Age, Satan's Plan for a One World Religion. We still offer the ministry a fantastic book. And many times I get letters, even today, and people say, wow, this book is as timely today as it was before. Well, in any case, we went to Chicago, and we didn't really know how the publicity and, you know, advertising and promotion was supposed to go. We just went because God told us to go out there, go on the road, and tell people the truth. This was a book about last day's prophecy and what was going on in America. So we did. And I'll never forget, we were at a downtown Chicago. And, you know, the traffic is just hideous in downtown Chicago. And there's no place to park. You have to park way high up in some parking garage. There's a few places left on the street, but you could just drive around all day long looking for a place to park. Well, we decided we were going to go put an ad in the paper, and I was going to have my very first Christian conference and speaking. I didn't know any churches, didn't know anybody. I just thought, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just go buy an ad in the Chicago Tribune newspaper and say, you know, Tex Mars is going to be at this hotel room, and you're invited to come and listen to him talk about his new book. Well, nobody knew about my new book because it was just coming out that week. It wasn't a bestseller or anything. It was just coming out. And the publisher wasn't doing anything to promote it. They said, oh, it's one of many books, maybe 50 or 100 books we're going to publish this year. If you want to promote it, you can do that. We don't care, but, you know, we're not going to promote your book. We'll publish it, but we're not going to promote it. So there I was, the heartland of America, Chicago, never been there before. And I had to find a place to park so we could go up to the Chicago Tribune building, a 14th floor, I think it was, and go up there and buy that ad, tell them how we wanted the ad to run. Well, the first miracle was there was a parking place right in front of the Chicago Tribune building. That was very unusual. We parked. And as I was going up the elevator, I noticed that the whole first floor of that building, now if my memory is serving me right, I think it is, turned out to be a radio station. That's right. It had a huge aerial on top of this gigantic skyscraper building, but it was a WGN radio, you know, where they broadcast Chicago Cubs baseball games and all kind of, one of the biggest, you know, radio stations in the world. And there, you know, I was going up the elevator up to the Chicago Tribune, but there was a WGN radio down below. And I made a little mental notice. I wondered, when we come back down here, let's go over to WG and ask if they have any radio talk shows. Maybe they'd like to have me as a guest. Well, you can see how little I knew. You know, you can't just walk into a radio station and say, I want to be a guest. You got to have your front man and your agent and all that stuff. But I didn't have any of that stuff, so I did whatever I wanted, you know, whatever God led me to do. Well, I went up there, and, you know, I think they felt sorry for me. I didn't tell them I didn't have much money, but up at the Chicago Tribune, the lady said, what are you here for in Chicago? And I told her. I told her how Jesus had changed my life and Wanda's life, and we wanted to bring Jesus and the truth to more people through this conference. Well, I'll be very honest with you. She left the room for a few minutes. She came back and said that she had persuaded her supervisor to give us 50% off on the ad. That was a miracle. I didn't even ask her. I didn't even know you could get a discount on an ad. I said, well, thank you very much. I invited her to come to our conference. Then I went back downstairs. I said, let's go in here now to this And I'm telling you, it was a radio station to behold. Gigantic waiting room, you know, marble floors, gorgeous pillars and all that stuff. There was one receptionist sitting in there. It was about lunchtime. Beautiful young black girl. And she was sitting there at the desk. Now, didn't I just tell you that my book had just come out? I didn't even think it was in bookstores. I was hoping it was in a few bookstores in Chicago. But I wasn't sure that it was. And we walked up to this girl. We were walking toward her. And would you believe it? She was reading my book. And she looked at me and I looked at her and there she had my book and she was reading it. Well, the reason she wasn't working was she was on her lunch hour, but she had told another person who was going to lunch, who was a regular receptionist, that she would fill in for her. She actually worked, you know, somewhere else in the building. So she was just waiting for the phone to ring back and forth and she was reading my book. Of all books, my book. Chicago, one of the largest cities in America. I think, what, the third largest city in America. This gal at WGN, the receptionist, reading my book. That was really the first major Christian book I'd published. So, a swell of pride hit me. And she looked back. I had my picture on the cover. She says, this is you. I said, yes, it is. Oh, yes, the pride. The devil got to me. See, my pride went up. Boy, the scale just went, you know, just like a corny. It'd get to, you know, one of these big old hammers and hit the bell and it goes up and ring, 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 rings, you know, and you get a prize. Yeah. So she looked at me and I thought she was going to say something nice about my book, which would have been okay. I'd have liked to have heard it. Then she turned and looked at Wanda and she said to Wanda, not Tex, not the author, This man who would some, you know, very soon become a famous author of a number one best-selling book. No, no, no. She turned to Wanda and she said, and you? Well, yes. Okay. God has sent you to help me today. A secular radio show in one of the most wicked cities in America. Here sits a little Christian girl, maybe 21, 22, very lovely black lady reading my book. And she's telling my wife, Wanda, right by my side, God sent you to help me today. Now, friends, if that doesn't convince you there's a God in heaven, I don't know what will. Well, let me tell you the upshot of the story. She told Wanda that the reason why she was helping out a friend there and missing her own lunch period, as it turned out, was that she was on a fast. She was a baby Christian, had just become a Christian. She had heard about fasting. She had been fasting and praying, asking God for an answer. So she wasn't even having lunch. She said, I'm fasting today and praying. And I'm reading this Christian book that I just got at a Moody's bookstore here. It just came in. It looked interesting to me. And then here you come in the building, right in front of my desk. And she said, Mrs. Mars, I need your help so much. Wanda said, well, if I can help you, I will. She says, well, here's what I've been praying for God to give me an answer. You see, she says, I have a boyfriend and he's asked me to marry him, but he told me I'd have to change my religion. I'd have to become a Jehovah's Witness. I love him. I'd like to love him, but I just become a Christian. I'm a born again Christian. What should I do? What does the Bible say? Notice something. She wanted to know what God said about her situation because she didn't know what to do. What does God say? She's asking an older Christian lady, which is what young women should do. And Wanda was very sweet to her and said, well, what is your name? And I don't even remember the woman's name. Let's say it was Beverly. She said, well, Beverly, the Bible tells us not to be yoked unequally with unbelievers. And young Beverly said, that's in the Bible. She said, yes, it is. I wanted to tell her the scripture. She says, the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is Lord. They believe he's just one of many gods. In fact, they believe that he's an angel, just Michael the Archangel. So they do not even recognize Jesus as Lord. She says, well, then that's my answer then. I cannot marry someone who has rejected Jesus as Lord because he wants me to change from my religion, from my faith in Jesus Christ. And she says, well, praise God. Tears came to her eyes. She was so thankful. She said, God answered my prayer. Well, this is the way God works. Now, it's all incidental what happened after that. I told her I'd come there to be on a talk show. She said, well, the big station that has the talk shows is WMAQ. They're right down the street here. They're huge. They have the biggest talk shows in the Midwest. But we do have a couple. I'll try to get you on one of those. Well, I went back to my hotel room with Wanda, and we were just marveling at the work that God had done that day, thanking him for everything, from the parking spot to the 50% discount because we couldn't afford that hotel, you know, room, to convention room and all that stuff, and then meeting this young lady and being having her prayer answered. And she was reading my book. One, at least I could sell, I knew I was going to sell one copy of that book in the whole world. And I got back to my hotel room, and sure enough, there's a phone call. It wasn't the young lady, though. It was WMAQ. Because we'd phoned, after the girl told us about WMAQ, we phoned over there. And the most popular talk show host in all of Chicago wanted me to have me on his radio program the very next day. And they told me, don't go on that radio program with that guy. He's a maniac. And he chews Christians up and down. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm going on it then. I'm going on it for sure. If there's a man there that hates Christians and chews them up, that's the radio program I want to be on. They said, don't you understand? He has millions of listeners all over the Midwest, probably on 60 or 70 radio stations. WMAQ, this powerhouse radio station. Don't you understand that he's going to have you on to embarrass you? And he's going to blast you as a Christian? I said, well, I'm going to go on there and be an evangelist. What does that matter? This is an opportunity. And I did. And his name, by the way, was Martin Downey. Martin Downey, and they call him the Lip. Quite frankly, we got along just fine. Had a great radio program. And he started off a little bit rough. He didn't introduce himself to me. They kept me in a little separate room, and about 1 minute before the radio program started, they ushered me out, stuck me in a chair right across the desk from him. He had on these ear things. They gave me some. I looked on the wall, and there was this light, and it was red, and then suddenly it was green. And the first words of his mouth, he said to all these millions of people, he said, hi, welcome to the Martin Downey Jr. Show. I'm looking at a book by my guest today. It's entitled Dark Secrets of the New Age. It's published. It's written by a man named Tex Mars here in the studio. And Mr. Mars, all I can say in thumbing through your book here, I haven't read it, all I can say in thumbing through it is it appears to me like you're some kind of a Christian fundamentalist fanatic nut. How would you feel, friends? Your first radio show with your first Christian book, you're on one of the largest talk shows in America, and the famous host is saying, you look like some kind of a fanatic nut. All I could do was admit it. And that's what I did. I laughed and I said, well, Martin, I'm amazed you haven't even read my book, just thumbing through it. You can already tell I'm some kind of a fundamentalist Bible fanatic nut. You're absolutely right. That's what I am. And it's a great honor to be on your show today. And I laughed, and he laughed, and we had the best time for an hour and a half. And I have to tell you, not only did he agree with everything that I said on that show, amazingly, afterward he shook my hand and said, I've just got to have you back. I want you on here to be a regular. So, see, friends, this is this is the way God works. Had a wonderful time with Martin Downey. He had a real problem. You know, he smoked a lot and he died of cancer. He did a number of TV commercials. Later on, he had a TV show, some cable network, and very popular. The Martin Downey Jr. Show, I think it was. Martin Downey Sr., I can't remember what it was. And his son today, you know, is Martin Downey Jr., I think. He's the actor. But this was Martin Downey Sr. He was also an actor, talk show host. And I was on his TV show a couple times, too. Up in New York City, WABC, I believe it was, TV. In any case, look, enough about my past. I'm just trying to let you know that God can do anything. He arranges the steps that you and I walk. It says in the Bible, the steps of a righteous person are ordered by God. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that he has already arranged your schedule in advance. How would you like to have the most powerful scheduling manager in the world working for you? That's right. That's Jesus. Actually, we're working for him, but he's good enough to schedule everything for us. Well, okay, let's talk about some things here. Person who wrote to me, John, sent me an email about my video, The Sun at Midnight, an expose of the true meaning of pyramids around the world. He says, I've just finished reading your April newsletter entitled The Sun at Midnight, which concerns the prevalence of pyramids constructed by this satanic elite. I thought you might like to see some pictures that I took between 1989 to 1991. This is the camp and the main oil production center for Conoco Oil Corporation at Milne Point, Alaska, about 40 miles northwest of Prudhoe Bay, right on the shore of the Arctic Ocean. And he says, please note the glass pyramid that is prominent at the entrance of the camp, which lights up during the night. Interestingly, this is above the Arctic Circle, which is a two-month-long night in the winter. 2 months long. And, of course, sun at midnight for most of the summer. And anyway, he talks a little bit about this artistic Conoco pyramid, this fantastic piece of architecture. Very interesting. Somebody sent me a poem here, emailed me a poem. It was a man named Deepak Sarkar. Now, he's a famous Indian, I believe. And he wrote a Mother's Day poem and sent it to me. I think this Deepak Sarkar is a very famous writer, so I want to thank him for sending me his poem, although, well, looks to me like a little bit sacrilegious junk. But anyway, it's entitled Earth, and it's dedicated to Mother's Day. And it is a poem written on behalf of our beloved mother, planet Earth. Oh, yes. Oh, Mother Earth, it reads, bestow upon us the energy of fire. Help us rise above shyness, greed, and fear. Warm our hearts as we breathe truth so dear. Make our mind logical, thoughtful, and clear. Oh, loving power, reveal your messages for coexistence. Alas, we fight wars and destroy delicate ecosystem. Despite you made us creative and intelligent, enlighten us to feel heavenly bliss and non-violence. O dearest living planet, energize us with your evolving secrets. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on to talk about Mother Earth's selfless love and care. Let our united minds, it says, spread Mother's Day messages around the world. Oh, my, my. Well, enough of that. Thank you, Deepak. Oh, thank you so much. It really made my day. By the way, my good friend Dr. Henry McCow, that's M-A-K-O-W, he has a tremendous website called Save the Males, M-A-L-E-S.ca. He's written a book exposing the Illuminati, and I'm going to have him on the radio program here soon if he'd be honored to come. And I read a lot of what Dr. Henry McCow writes about. He's Jewish, by the way, which doesn't mean anything to me, except it's sort of interesting. He's a Jewish Christian, a great patriot. And, you know, here at the Power of Prophecy, we don't care what race you are. I just wanted to mention that because a lot of people think that all Jews are evil. Well, they're, of course, not. That's silliness. But he's a good man. And he brought up the fact recently on his website, SaveTheMales.ca, that for Mother's Day on Saturday Night Live, the TV program, they had a song sung by a duet of Justin Timberlake, who I believe is Jewish. He's the boyfriend, used to be of Britney Spears, and of course he's a big star in his own right. I think he's with some boy band. And his friend, a Jewish singer whose last name is Samberg, S-A-M-B-E-R-G, the first name escapes me, they did a little duet number together, and they had two actresses, Susan Sarandon and a woman named Patricia Clark, I think, with them. So it was like a music video there on Saturday Night Live for Mother's Day. I cannot tell you everything that they did on this video, but basically they pretended to be two young teenage boys, Justin Timberlake and the Samberg character, and their song was entitled Let's F-U-C-K Each Other's Mother for Mother's Day. One sang, you know, I'd like to F your mother, and the other said, I'd like to F your mother. So let's both be MFers. And they went on in this video. And then, of course, they were joined by two older women actresses, Susan Sarandon and this Patricia Clark. And it showed one of them having sex in the bedroom with the mother, and the other one having sex with the other person's mother in the kitchen. And they went all the way to the end, and it showed all four of them together in bed together. Let us do each other's mother for Mother's Day. Our mothers need a nice Mother's Day gift. Let's give it to them. Friends, America is smothered with smut. And this is so evil, who can even fathom it? And you know, Dr. Henry McCoe says something very interesting. He said, this is one of the Illuminati's goal, to bring America down, to degrade us and make us into a moral cesspool. And this Saturday Night Live, and he mentions the fact, he brings up that the producer is a man named Lorne Michaels. But his real name is Philip Lipowitz. He's Jewish. Jewish singers, Jewish actresses, a Jewish producer, and this is what they give America for Mother's Day. So we go from Mother Earth to Mother Effers. This is modern day America. Friends, what do you think God thinks about this country? And I wonder, I could not stand the way he worded it. But when I saw Pastor Jeremiah Wright, the black pastor of the Chicago church where Barack Obama and his wife Michelle and kids went to church there, when he said America is an evil place, and so God blank blank America, that bothered me that he said that. You see, I want to say God bless America. I want to cry out, God, please bless America. But he can't bless this America. No, he can't do it. I want to know how many Christian leaders were up in opposition to the Saturday Night Live skit. Can you count them on the fingers of your hand? No, you can't. I know of Henry McCoe, who's not really a Christian leader, but he is a Christian leader in a way. But he's not a pastor. He's not ordained as a minister. He tried to do something about it, exposing it. I'm trying to do something about it. Where are the millions of American preachers? Where are you? We're going to take a break now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to go very fast because I've got so many secrets to reveal to you. And you're going to hear things you've never heard before. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tex Mars. And this is Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars again. Do you have my incredible book, Codex Magica? Codex Magica. the secret hand signs, symbols, even the handshakes of the Illuminati elite are pictured in this book. Over 1,000 photographs and illustrations. You'll see in their own Masonic and secret society textbooks the truth about what these men are up to, and some women, I might add. You'll see in plain daylight on television, in cartoons, in movies, in newspapers, on the internet. Everywhere you turn, these people are doing secret hand signs. By the way, I mentioned to you Mr. Sandberg and Mr. Timberlake, who did the hideous skit on Saturday Night Live about effing each other's mothers for Mother's Day. While they were performing the skit, they did the sign of Osiris, the Egyptian sun god, with their hand, both in unison. Oh, yes. They were worshiping the ancient Osirian sun god, who is nothing more than Lucifer. By the way, he's the same as the symbol on your $1 bill. That all-seeing eye is the sign of Horus above the pyramid. How did it get there? Well, Codex Magica explains all, my friends. You'll know all about these celebrities and big-name politicians and world statesmen who are communicating with demonic hand signs and handshakes right in plain sight. They think you and I are too stupid to know what they're doing. This is the first book ever to unmask these things. Over 1,000 pictures. The book is, what, 600 and some odd pages, I believe, in length. It's huge format. It's a size, and it weighs about as much as 3 regular books. We're offering it for just $35. Please add $5 shipping and handling. And by the way, this is not the kind of book you're going to put in your back pocket and take somewhere. It's a big book. But a lot of people say they're fascinated by it, that they keep going back to it over and over and over again. The captions alone under the pictures are worth the price. Many of these pictures have never been published before in a book or in movies or anywhere. Codex Magica. It's a must-have book. Now, again, the total of $40, that includes shipping and handling, to get it, just phone us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us and send us $40. It'll cover shipping and handling. Put a little note in your envelope. Send a check or a money order or cash and say, Tex, send me Codex Magica. And friends, as always, we get things right back in the mail to you. Within 2 work days, it's on its way. It's winging. So if it arrives late, friends, it's not our fault. Believe me. Oh, no, it's the post office. And that's the truth. Now, again, our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. We like to say the Republic of Texas, but, you know, that gets you in trouble. Don't write that on your envelopes. Just put Austin, Texas, or TX. And our zip code is 78733. Hey, if you're overseas, you can call us on our regular phone line. It's area code 512-263-9780. And that'll work here in the United States of America as well. As always, you can order this book, Codex Magica, on our website, powerofprophecy.com, where you can hear this weekly radio program 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How about that? In perfect clarity. powerofprophecy.com or texmars.com will get you there too. But spell my name right. Most people don't. It's T-E-X-E. I know it's misspelled, isn't it? T-E-X-E. Should just be T-E-X, but it's T-E-X-E. You know, the midwife messed up. I was born way out in the country. She misspelled my name on the birth certificate. I've had to live with it. Oh, woe is me. No, not at all. I've enjoyed being Tex, or T-E-X-E, for all these years. Makes for a great conversation piece. I sort of like it. I'm the only T-E-X-E out there in the whole world, as far as I know. And then my last name is Mars. And please don't spell it like the planet. M-A-R-R-S, two R's, is the way to do it. All my friends in the Air Force used to joke and call me Captain Venus, Captain Jupiter. But I was a captain in the Air Force, and so I was actually Captain Mars. And all of my associates, of course, were Martians in the Air Force, that is. I think I got a few right now out there. You know, otherworldly people that are not citizens of this Earth, but they don't belong on Mars either. They belong on heaven in Zion. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about secrets. You know, not too long ago on the air, a man named Jason Burmis, who fills in a lot, substitutes for Alex Jones, said something absolutely remarkable and I think very sad. It was on his April 13, 2009 broadcast of the Info Warrior show on the Genesis Communications Network. Mr. Burmis received a call from a gentleman in California, and the gentleman, who identified himself as Larry, very nicely mentioned the fact that, in his opinion, 90% of the media are run by Jews in all of the Hollywood movies. Well, Burmis, who seems to be a big Zionist defender, went gaga. He went bananas. He went on a tirade and talking about people hating the Jews, calling them hook nose. And he said that the man and people like him that think the Jews are responsible for the conspiracy are running the media, or that they run Hollywood. He said, you people are just a bunch of Nazis and anti-Semites. And then this Jason Burmis, and a lot of you have heard him on the radio. I was of the opinion he was a nice young man. But then he went on to say that anybody who believes that the Zionist Jews are behind any of this mess in the world today, they're better off dead. That's what Jason Burmis said. He said, you people who hate the Jews, and by the way, Larry didn't say hate of the Jews. He simply said the Jews, in my opinion, run about 90% of the media in Hollywood. But Burmis couldn't stand it. He went on the attack. He blasted this caller and people like him, I guess Tex Mars included. Because I know for a fact that the Jews run Hollywood. I've even done a two-hour radio series on it. You can order that from us about the Zionists hijacking Hollywood and the media. And this very month's newsletter, my feature article is entitled Meet the Jews Who Own Hollywood and the Media. Read about it. I mean, Abe Foxman of the Jewish ADL admits that the eight largest movie studios are run by Jews. Joel Stein, also Jewish, a commentator and writer for the Los Angeles Times and for Time Magazine, Joel Stein says, of course the Jews run Hollywood and the movies and the media. He said it's almost impossible to find a Gentile who's the chief executive officer of the media or of a studio. It just doesn't happen. He said anyone who does not understand, doesn't know that the Jews own Hollywood and the media is just plain dumb. D-U-M-B. That's not Tex Mars talking. That's Joel Stein of the Los Angeles Times newspaper in his column. That's Abe Foxman of the Jewish ADL. Are they Nazis too, Mr. Burmis? Well, it's so blatantly obvious that the Jews run Hollywood that one Jewish man, researcher Neil Gabler, even wrote a book called An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood. Marlon Brando, one of the most famous actors of the 20th century, went on the Larry King show and complained about the Jews running Hollywood. And he was complaining to a Jew who had the top talk show on CNN, a network owned by the Jews and run by the Jews. And at the network next door, Fox News, a Jew named Peter Chernin is the CEO of that network. Every NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox Network, they're all run and operated by Jews. So is Newsweek, Time Magazine, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Tribune, and the Los Angeles Times are owned by Sam Zell, a Jewish billionaire and a radical Zionist to boot. Now, Burmese either didn't know this, and Jason, please don't call yourself the info warrior if you don't even know those basic facts. Ben Stein, he's another Jewish man. He's well known. He's written a number of books. And I like Ben Stein. He's a conservative Jew. But he is a Jew. He's a comedian, too. He has that, you know, just very, he never smiles kind of face. Very interesting man. He does a lot of TV commercials, too, Ben Stein. And he actually did some kind of a quiz show or game show on TV even. Ben Stein. He was asked by reporters, do Jews own Hollywood? And he looked at the reporter like he was nuts. He said, well, of course the Jews run and own Hollywood. So what? You know, like, of course they do, you idiot. That was Ben Stein, who's Jewish. But Jason Burmese, according to Jason Burmese, if you even dare to say that the Jews run Hollywood and the media, oh, you're a Nazi. You're an anti-Semite. But he goes one step beyond that, Jason Burmese does. He goes a far, far step from that. Let me read to you from the actual transcript of what Jason Burmese says. When this man simply proposed that 90% of the media are run and owned by the Jews and Hollywood, he was called ridiculous, unbelievable. He was called all kind of names, anti-Semite, Nazi, by Jason Burmese. And Jason Burmese is supposed to be the info warrior. And he sits in for Alex Jones on the Alex Jones Show. And Genesis Network has given him all this radio time. And patriots are listening to this guy. He says, this is Jason Burmese talking. He says, the question is, if you're asking that question, why are you still breathing? I mean, why haven't you really just taken a toaster oven and thrown it in the bathtub with yourself and had a party? Because that's what you need to do. If you believe that Zionism is a major problem in America and the world, if you believe, and by the way, that is true, if you believe that the Jews run Hollywood, own the media, which they do, and they admit to, I can show you articles in all of their publications, including the Jerusalem Post. But if you admit that, if you say it, according to Jason Burmese of the Info Warrior, Genesis Patriot Network, he says you ought to get a toaster oven, throw it in the bathtub with yourself, and have a party. In other words, kill yourself. You're better off dead. Then he says, and you ought to go maybe get a rope and go out and hang yourself. Then he goes on to say, nothing I hate more than the anti-Semites and the Nazis. Well, Jason, it's shameful that you call good patriots, many of them Christians, and many of them Jews, Nazis and anti-Semites. Men like the aforementioned Henry McCoe and so many others. By the way, one of the top professors in America, Dr. Mearsheimer and Dr. Stephen Walt. They come from Harvard University and the University of Chicago. Have written a new book called The Israel Lobby. And it shows very clearly, it's over 400 pages, shows very clearly that the Jews own the media and they own our politicians. Cynthia McKinney, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, who's very fearless, she's the gal that exposed that 9/11 was an inside job. She's still in Congress. Cynthia McKinney, guess what she said? I think she's still in Congress. She's not. She was put out of office because the Jews sponsored her opponent. Okay. Former congresswoman then. Jerry's over here correcting me. Thank you, Jerry. Sitting at my studio, all the keys over there, the keyboard. Cynthia McKinney was on the Ogner show from over in Europe. Ogner's a good man. He exposes a lot of these things. And Congresswoman McKinney said that 99% of our senators and congressmen are owned by the Jewish lobby. 99%. So, friends, when a man like Jason Burmese says such ridiculous and silly things, he can call you an anti-Semite and a Nazi. He can say you're better off dead. He can defend the evils of Zionism all he wants. My advice to you is to simply reach up and turn the radio dial somewhere else. There are a lot of good programs out there that you can listen to, and you don't have to listen to some guy defending evil forces like Jason Burmese did. By the way, I've reported this on the web, on the internet, and Jason Burmese wrote me a letter, and I didn't see any remorse. I didn't see any apology. In fact, he's mad because his critics have reported this. He seems to be mad at Tex Mars simply because I reported what he said. He said to me, I'm not a Jew. I'm not funded by the Jews. Well, I never said he was a Jew or funded by the Jews. I'm just telling you what he said. Forget about what he is or, you know, what or not. Is he a Jewish shill? Is he an infiltrator? Is he funded by the Simon, the rich billionaire Simon family, as many say, of New York, he and his pals? I don't know about any of that stuff. I just know what he said. And he said, if you believe the Jews are involved in the conspiracy or on the media, you're ridiculous. He says that that you're unbelievable. You're a Jew hater. You're an anti-Semite. You're a Nazi, and you need to go out and kill yourself. And friends, that's not what patriots do. I believe in free expression. I may not agree with your opinion, but I'm not going to call you a Nazi and anti-Semite. Certainly for expressing your opinion about Zionism. Now, Jason Burmese did a pretty good video not too long ago called Fable Enemies, in which he even mentioned that the Israeli Mossad seems to be involved in the 9/11 thing. But now he seems to be changing his tune. So, you know, he's sort of straddling the fence, jumping on one side or on the other, maybe trying to figure out where his bread is going to be buttered. I don't know. I cannot figure out the man's mind. I'm not saying he's this or he's that. I'm simply saying this. He said these terrible things. And, you know, about a year ago, a good friend of mine, Mark Dice, who has done a great job in exposing the police state and the Illuminati, Michael Reagan, you know, President Reagan's son, adopted son, has a radio, national radio program syndicated out of California. He told Mark Dice, I'd like to see somebody get a gun and go kill you, go shoot you in the head. And boy, people went nuts. Patriots went nuts. And somebody told me that Alex Jones and Jason Burmese really, you know, really, really exposed Michael Reagan for saying such a thing. Well, now we have Jason Burmese in the Patriot community saying basically the same thing. That if you don't agree with him about the Jews or Zionism, you're a Nazi, you're an anti-Semite, and you're better off dead. And he has not, as far as I know, in his letter to me, he did not apologize. He's angry at his critics because they reported it. And he says they're lying about him calling him a Jew and all these things. Hey, Jason, listen to me, my friend. When you made a mistake, I was taught by an old Air Force sergeant. Yes, that's right. I was an officer, but he was a sergeant. But he told the troops that worked for him. He said, listen, men, when you made a mistake, number one, own up to it. Number two, tell me how you're going to fix it. And number three, promise to me you'll never do it again in the future. And you know, Jason, it would have been better if that's what you did. Own up to your horrible mistake. Two, you know, explain how it happened. And three, convince us that it will never happen again. and that you've gotten smart very, very fast. Maybe you should read books and articles by Dr. Henry McCoe, a Jew. Maybe you should get out the Joel Stein article from the Los Angeles Times and read what he says when he proves that the media and Hollywood are owned by the Jews. Maybe you should get the book by Neil Gabler, another Jew, called An Empire of Their Own. Read what the Jews have to say about how they own the media in Hollywood. Do your research, Jason Burmes, and no telling what you could find out. Well, somebody sent me something that says that visiting professor at Yale University, Clive Hamilton, has written, and by the way, this was in Sunday GQ magazine, an amazing scoop. Evidently, in 2003, while lobbying foreign leaders to come help us fight the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, President Bush spoke to France's then president, Jacques Chirac. And Bush told Chirac that Gog and Magog were at work in the Middle East and they had to be defeated. Gog and Magog? This is the prophetic characters from the Bible. Demons. Wow. Gog and Magog. And President Bush actually told the president of France that it was Gog and Magog that are at work in the Middle East and they had to be stopped. Well, evidently, Jacques Chirac, a Freemason, didn't believe it, and he never sent any troops from France. So Bush's warning about Gog and Magog went nowhere. Well, here's another item. Somebody writes to me and says, Tex, what day is the Sabbath? Well, of course, the Sabbath is Saturday, but, you know, let me tell you something, dear friends. The Bible says clearly that the Sabbath is to be a day of rest. And the Bible also says that when Jesus came, he became the Sabbath. That's right. We are to rest in him. Oh, isn't that an amazing thing? Jesus is the very Sabbath, and we are to rest in him. You know, he invited us, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, if a person chooses a special day of rest and remembrance, or they believe that one of the Ten Commandments, and it's right there, it is one of the Ten Commandments, to keep the Sabbath, I believe that's wonderful, and it's inspirational, and it's a blessing. And Jesus himself rested and honored the day of Sabbath. He went to the house of God on the day of Sabbath. I personally, Tex Mars recommends a day of rest, prayer, and contemplation. For me, that day is Saturday. But it can be Sunday for you. You say, but back in the old days, they worshiped the sun god, the pagans. Well, you're not a pagan, are you? Don't do what they do. I mean, if you don't want to do what the pagans do, then take that dollar out of your pocket, because it's got pagan symbols on it. And don't use words like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All those come from pagan gods. Don't use those days. Don't name those days. You see, pretty soon, you're limited. You're in a straitjacket. Built on your own legal foundations. Listen to me, dear friends. Be free. Have liberty in Jesus Christ. I believe every day you should honor and worship Jesus. Every day. Make every day a Sabbath. That'll solve the problem. Paul says, don't let anybody judge you based on your Sabbath. If it's Saturday, great. That's what Jesus took, evidently, from what I read. And I believe a lot of the Christians who were Jews continued to honor God and Jesus on the Sabbath. And they also on Sunday came together too, the Bible says. Looks like they had 2 days of worship. Maybe we should have two. I'm simply saying the important thing is that Jesus is our rest. Rest in him, you will not go wrong. Now I know that this is not going to please some of you that say it's only Sunday. If you don't worship on Sunday, you're not even a Christian. Others say, no, it's only on Saturday. I say every day, rest in Jesus. I'll be criticized for that, but I feel lovely about it. And that's the way it goes. I've never been accused of not taking a stand on things, you know, folks, but I believe what the Bible says, and that's what it's always sort of led me along the right path. By the way, I have several callers. I don't know why, it just seems to be coming up more and more often now about the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses. They were, you know, a Zionist Jewish cult and are today. Do you realize that the Kingdom Halls, the worship buildings of the Jehovah's Witnesses, have no windows? They have no windows. They're like prisons. That's very odd, isn't it? I have an audio tape of a discussion I had. You can order it. An interview I had of researcher Fritz Springmeier. He's in prison now for his faith. He's the author also of Bloodlines of the Illuminati. And he started out as a Jehovah's Witnesses, realized it was a satanic cult, and came out of it. And I interviewed him for 60 minutes talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. And it's a fabulous tape. I think you might want to order that tape. But remember what I told you. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a false Bible in which they cut and change many things themselves. They call it the New World Translation. Oh, sure, yeah. The New Devil's World Translation, it should be called. And they clearly teach that they believe in Jesus. Oh, yes, we believe in Jesus, and he's coming again. They make you think that they believe in Bible prophecy. Listen to me. They believe that Jesus is simply the Archangel Michael, that God had no son. Jesus is not the Son of God then. He's not the only begotten Son of God. That's why they had to get their own Bible. This is a false Jewish Zionist cult. And as I show in my book, Mysterious Monuments, at the gravesite, near the gravesite of the founder, Charles Taze Russell of Jehovah's Witnesses, at the founder, his gravesite, they have built a memorial and is in the form of an Egyptian pyramid. What does that tell you about the Jehovah's Witnesses? Hey, here's a letter I got from a man from Poland, the country of Poland. He says, "Dear Tex, my name is Thomas and I'm from Poland. I read your book about global conspiracy. I agree with you, but I don't know what we can do to stop it. They have big power. It's a very hard problem. Many people don't want to change. Still, one day our world will be better, I believe. Best regards, Thomas from Poland." Well, Thomas, I wrote back, I am a Christian like you. And you're right, one day our world will be better. We do not have to stop the global conspiracy. That's a misconception. It's not my job to stop it. Now, I'm going to try, but it's not my job to do it. We simply must tell the truth. I love what Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the famous Jewish Christian writer, once said. He said, one word of truth outweighs the whole world. One word of truth. And you know, the Bible says Jesus is the Word of God. And Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is Lord. He is victorious. And Thomas, you and I and every other Christian, we are the overcomers, the book of Revelation says. Well, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening just to a few secrets and some commentary here. Hope you've enjoyed today's program and been blessed by it. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.